Turuntuset tulee Joonel.
And today we will talk about cross media. To start with, I think that all the marketeers know and have thought about cross marketing. That means using, finding partners, strategic ones, and using their media channels in order to promote your service or product. But today we'll talk about cross-media. And it's a field that grows very fast, but I think that marketeers in Estonia don't know how to use it well. My third question, Alessandro, to you is, can you define the cross-media and how is it different from cross-marketing?
Yes, absolutely. Cross-media is communication that happens across platforms. And this is probably the most synthetic and simple way to define it. The most effective way of making cross-media is referred to as transmedia. This is a term that is dear to academics and to the industry experts. And transmedia is the activity of developing a narrative across platforms with the intent of engaging audiences and enhance their participation. So one of the fathers of cross-media is considered Henry Jenkins. Then in his 2006 book, Convergence Culture, he stressed that when you do cross-media, with cross-media, storytelling might be introduced, for example, in a film, and might be expanded through television and comics, and it might be explored through a video game. So what I'm saying here is that the way, if you apply it to marketing, the way that it becomes interesting is the building of stories, is the building of narratives that then are spread across multiple platforms. Now, one aspect that is important to consider is that, you see, if I talk to, I have talked to many different companies, and often the answer that I get is like, oh, we do cross-media. We have a website, we have a Twitter account, we have Facebook. Then you look what they do in Facebook, and they practically advertise whatever they upload on their website. What do they do on Twitter is the same. They advertise what they upload either in Facebook or on their website. And this is the main difference with transmedia or cross-media, as you want to call it. The narrative expands through each channel. It's not a repetition. It's not an adaptation of the same content. Rather, an expansion, an enlargement, a creation of a story world. So the audience should be transported into a story world larger than a single story. It must have as well multiple entry points and exit points. What I mean is we create a narrative that expands through different channels. We create, for example, for a brand, a book, an episode for the web, and a video game. And we should not force the audience to move from one to another in order to have a comprehension of the whole story world. Each production, each media text that we create should be self-sustaining, meaning that you watch the video and you have a full experience and you're happy and you don't force your audience to go from the video to the book to understand the actual story world. I was a few weeks ago at a conference speaking in Tartu, and one of the participants said to me, yeah, but if my brand creates, for example, a video game and an interactive book, and if I start the story, if I introduce the story with the interactive book, and then the end of the story I provide in the video game, I will kind of force my audience to move from one to another. And if the video game and the interactive book are for sales, I will make money on the video game and on the interactive book. Well, theoretically, this is true. At the same time, you would probably annoy your audiences. They would probably feel that they are let down by you. And you will not establish the emotional attachment that is instead seen with transmedia and more in general with good marketing, I would say.
Can you give a concrete company example? Who does it best?
Oh, there are lots of examples. If we start from, let's say, one of the old examples. We take, for example, BMW. Between 2001 and 2002, they created a series of 8 short films, averaging about 10 minutes each, called The Hire. And each episode had a different plot. However, Clive Owen, the actor, he was the driver in each of those episodes. To quote you one, a famous episode was directed by Guy Ritchie with Madonna.
Wow.
With Madonna. It was called The Star, where Madonna played the super diva with a super attitude. And Clive Owen was the driver. And he showed somehow, while driving, how to behave to Madonna and not have such an attitude. So he drives her around. Of course, he drives a BMW. He drives the BMW extremely fast to its most... let's say, to the limits of the car. And so the film was not about the car itself. But of course, it showed how the car can be driven, what the car can achieve, etc., etc. Now, what is interesting about this this video is that because they created a narrative and because each episode was linked with the other, thanks to the fact that they had the same driver, even if the story were different, because of that, then people got into the narrative and started following the video, started watching the video, downloading the videos. And in each video, guess what? A different BMW car that was on sale at the time was portrayed in the video. So trying to reach, you know, a wider segment as possible of target audience. Then, of course, there are other examples. By the way, this The Hire then inspired Luc Besson to make his film, The Transporter, was inspired by the campaign of BMW. There are other examples. This was a bit untraditional because it didn't seek the participation of the audience. But then if we take, for example, Audi, okay? How would you market the coming of an A3? Usually, in terms of traditional marketing, what you would do, you would make a video, you would make an ad, and then you would take the car to the annual car show. And that's about it. Audi, with the Art of the Heist, on the 4th of January 2005, they staged the theft of the first Audi A3 in America that was introduced there at the Audi dealership in Park Avenue. It was well staged. There was police there. There were security guards trying to chase the thieves, etc., etc. The 5th of January, the day after the car was supposed to be shown at the New York International Auto Show, instead of the car, they put up signs saying, sorry, the car was stolen. We don't have currently an A3 in America. And that was the beginning of an alternate reality game. So they were asking to the audience, help us to understand why the car was stolen. And when I talk about alternate reality games, I talk about interactive network narratives that happen both online and in the real world. In other words, people play this game, kind of treasure hunt, and they get the clues both online and in the streets. They have to find real objects, they have to go to places, etc., etc. And this game lasted a couple of months. It was as well featured in a commercial on television. If you make a quick search of The Art of the Heist, you will see the nature of the commercial. They were rather funny. Of course, the commercial was saying, you know, an Audi A3 has been stolen, blah, blah, blah. The description of the car is equipped with, and then saying, you know, describing all the optionals that the car has. Of course, it was funny. But this is how, you know, you can use engagement of the audience across multiple platforms and how it is used by companies today. And I could go on and on.
I have a question. Actually, when I go back to the first part, when you started, you brought an example that we and our companies, we tend to use the same information or same ad everywhere. Is it bad? I didn't understand. Is it totally bad or is anything good there also?
No, I would never say that is bad. It is not bad. Mm-hmm. It is a different approach. And I believe, because I work in the field, that is more effective if there is no repetition. For the simple reason that today we are bombarded by messages all the time, that then people will switch off very quickly. I'll give another example. Take, for example, the Matrix, this kind of barcodes that a square that you photograph with your mobile telephone. What do you usually get? You usually are sent back to the website of the company. So you see a poster. It says companyx.com. Below there is a barcode. You photograph it. And where do you end up? In companyx.com. So my question is, like, why do I have to go through that process? Why couldn't I type companyx.com on my mobile device? So what I'm saying here, try if you add a layer of interest instead of putting just a website, so to repeat, you know, from one platform to another. You write your slogan, your tagline, whatever, something that sparks interest in me, then I feel more taken by the story, and perhaps I would spend more time in reading what you are telling me. Hence, the marketing message, the advertisement message, would be, in my opinion, more effective. Having said that, I'm not saying that repetition is wrong, but I don't think it's as effective as it could be.
But is there any researches or statistics that we could take and compare that somebody did like this and somebody did differently and had a more efficiency out of it?
Well, of course, transmedia is a new field. So when we're talking about statistics, especially if you're talking about comparison, then there aren't that many results. But if I might go back to, first of all, let me tell you that when we're talking about cross media, we're talking about campaigns usually. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So being campaigns, they have a beginning and an end. Hence, you can measure them with traditional ways as any marketing as you would do with any marketing campaign. So data, analytics, histograms, etc., etc. At the same time, because you're asking the audience to participate, so to often transmedia, that is the core of transmedia, is asking the audience to co-create with the producers. Because you're asking that, you have a unique opportunity to be in contact with your audience. And being in contact, you can then more easily reach them and you can more easily make your relevant marketing researches related to it. If I go back to the examples that I was bringing, for example, the hire. In 2001, the BMW example. In 2001, the number of viewers who had visited BMW website to download the hire was over 21 million people in 1 year. In 2002, with the three new short films, the number rocketed to over 100 million. And 1 million people ordered the DVD with all 8 films. So I don't know if it's an effective or a non-effective marketing campaign, but once you reach over 100 million people, I would call it a successful campaign in terms of brand recognition. The Heart of the Heist campaign, according to Audio America, the game generated 4 times more online buzz than the other strategy for the same car applied to different countries, because this alternate reality game campaign was applied to the American market. And once they compared the different strategies, this one creates four times more buzz. So I would say that once you create something interesting for the audience, once we create something that is meaningful, then people themselves want to discover more, want to participate more, etc., etc.
I just wonder, are there any specific type of companies that can get more out of cross-media compared to the others?
Or is it applicable to everyone?
No, it's not applicable to everybody. For sure, there are certain types of companies to whom it works better. I would say that consumer product companies is the first thing. Then well-recognized brands with a fan base is as well very important. Because let's create that your brand is totally unknown. You create such a campaign across platforms, but then you don't have an audience. And these campaigns, especially because they ask the participation of the audience, they need to have somehow already an engaged audience or an audience that recognizes the brand and is willing to participate with the brand. Because something is that as a passive consumer, I am in front of the TV set and I see an ad and I'm like, okay, perhaps I'm interested in that product. Something else is asking me, please come and co-produce with us, come and play with us. To do that, I need to have an emotional engagement with the brand. If not, then the company or the brand has to be ready to, let's say, support the cross-media campaign with traditional advertising. This is the case, for example, of Yellow Pages New Zealand. And Yellow Pages in New Zealand, they had the problem that, of course, today when we want to search for a company, what do? We Google it.
Absolutely.
Okay. And if I ask my Estonian friends, have you ever seen the Yellow Pages? I mean, the physical book, the big yellow book, you know, 4,000 pages
probably.
Or more. None has seen it. And if I think the use that I now, initially we still have it. And if I think of the use that, for example, my friends do, it is fantastic to move furnitures around. You put it under the furniture and then you push it. It works very well.
Yeah.
So Yellow Pages, of course, in New Zealand had this problem. And instead of going around and creating a marketing campaign saying, okay, you know, we are the alternative to Google, our search engine works very well, etc., etc., they knew that they would have failed by doing that. They employed one young extrovert guy, and they told him that his job was to create the first yellow chocolate. And the campaign spread across multiple platforms, and it was a kind of Truman Show. So they were following this guy, first of all, to create a chocolate that was not yellow in the color, but even gave the sense of yellow when tasted. So he did lots of focus group, he did lots of interviews, he went to many different companies producing chocolate, etc., etc. Now, the hook there was that he was not allowed to use the internet. Of course, not Google, but not even Yellow Pages online. So he had to use the old book. No, the paper version of it.
Okay.
And the campaign went on for a few months. They were following him everywhere, his struggle and his successes, etc., etc. And again, I would say that it was quite promising campaign that reached good results. The chocolate was, first of all, what is the business model of Yellow Pages? Is to sell advertising.
Advertising,
yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
They ended up selling the chocolate as well.
Okay.
So that was the side, you know, the collateral of the campaign. The chocolate was sold out within 2 days through all New Zealand supermarkets. Since the end of the campaign, the bars are traded online for up to $320 each. So they kind of became a cult, you know, like an interesting object to have. And the online Yellow Pages usage in New Zealand during the campaign increased by 9%. So again, is it successful? I don't know. I don't know if Yellow Pages at the end were happy about this 9% increase and about the fact that they sold all the chocolate they produced. But for sure, it is something that even today, if you look online, it still has a buzz. It still has people commenting there was a great campaign that they created. So this is what I think. Cross media doesn't apply, to answer again to your question, to all companies. It's not because we have the opportunity to create narratives that then we do it. But for certain companies, it works very well, I think. Those companies that reach their audience directly. Yes.
My question is actually, to put it another way, that could you bring an example or explain how it doesn't work, or how you could make no success without understanding all the cross-media things we were talking about. So what is a typical thing is going on in a head of the director or marketing director of the company who wants to do a good campaign, but he's not good enough. What does he do?
Yes. Well, first of all, let me allow me a joke.
Yes.
Would you create a cross-media campaign for Tide, the powder, the washing powder, and Dexter, the story of a serial killer? Someone in the industry is a joke that comes often, you know, the image of Dexter, the serial killer, is his white shirt full of blood stains. Well, you could create a story around the washing powder and the shirt, you know, full of blood, but perhaps that is not the best way to go. But this is just a joke.
Okay.
To tell you a real campaign that went...
You have to explain to our listeners why not.
I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I mean, why not? Would you link a washing powder, your brand, to a serial killer?
Okay.
Perhaps yes. Mm-hmm. Perhaps
okay,
yes. It works very well. It takes away the stains of blood from a white shirt. But maybe it's not the best way to go.
Okay, as Tide is more towards the family and kids,
exactly,
and all these parts. Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But to give you another example, I'll mention now a campaign done by not someone new to the market, someone well established. Toyota, Sachi & Sachi, and their Your Other You. They decided to create a campaign based on pranks, jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And here I quote, they said, simply input a little info about your friend, phone, address, etc., and we will use them without their knowledge to freak them out through a series of dynamically personalized phone calls, texts, emails, and videos. So in other words, you want to make a joke to a friend, you insert telephone number and email and even physical address, and they will send you someone in front of your house, inside the car, taking pictures of your house, calling you on the mobile, telling you that they are watching you. Now, fantastic, yes, engaging. You know, the friends probably will have a great time thinking it's a fantastic joke. The result is that in 2009, a lady called Amber Duke, she really believed that she was stalked. The joke went on for months. And she sued Sachi & Sachi and Toyota for $10 million compensation for a case of stalking. And in 2011, a Los Angeles county court approved the legitimacy of the case. So this is what I mean. It has to be applied to certain circumstances. To other circumstances, shouldn't be applied. And when it is applied to circumstances where it shouldn't have been, the results can be really, really catastrophic. Because, you see, when we're talking about transmedia and cross-media, we're talking about experiences. Then the line the ethical line there can be really, really, really thin. It's easy thinking from a producer point of view, oh, I want to engage the audience, I want them to have fun. But it is really difficult. You have to be really careful not to step over the line. And that is what I think is one of the major challenges to cross media, because you ask the audience to participate physically. And that is where the danger happens and where the mistakes actually take place.
How familiar you are with Estonian products and have anything that you've seen here in Estonia come back to your mind and saying, wow, this could be a good thing to be marketed with cross media?
There are, yes, I am familiar to the Estonian market, and I think that Estonia has a number of products that already have their audience kind of engaged. So if we take, for example, the industry of alcohol, Alekok and Saku, those are definitely companies that could engage the audience through narratives. If we move, for example, to the film industry, not brands as such, in Estonia already at the moment there are a number of films that are going to drop classical, traditional marketing methods to move to into the transmedia world. And I'm talking, for example, about Null Punkt, that is currently produced. I mean, it's produced by Al Film and is currently in the production phases, will be broadcasted by ETV. And I'm talking about Apothecary Melchior, based on the books by Indre Kargla, that is produced by Exit Film, and it will have attached a transmedia experience. So,
but where do we lack it?
Say it again, sorry.
Where do we lack the understanding of this cross-media, transmedia? Do you see any brands or available ways we should use it more eagerly?
Oh, I think there are lots of cases. So far, in Estonia, transmedia hasn't happened yet. So I saw few months ago, in, for example, a flash mob in Solaris. And so there are of course, groups, or there are some brands that they are trying to use different approach to market their product. But so far, it hasn't been used yet. And if you ask me why, it's because there is this misconception that transmedia is going to be expensive.
So, isn't it?
Tell us more about it.
I don't believe that it is. I teach in Baltic Film and Media School, and I ask my students to do real transmedia experiences. And for example, 6 months ago, one of the groups of BA students, so we are not talking about, you know, master students, BA students at their second year, they decided to introduce to the audience the topic of kids and monsters and nightmares. And what they did an animation from the kid point of view, so the kid describing their nightmares. Then they did a book from the monster point of view and created a video game as well. Uploaded everything online. Everything was done with, I would say, a fairly good research behind it, because they went to a number of kindergartens in Estonia, interviewed parents, interviewed kids, interviewed teachers. So they had a fairly good understanding, not scientific, I'm not saying that, but a fairly good understanding of the topic. And to do all this, they spent 40 euros. So, of course, students can work for free. I'm not saying that, you know, the same video done by a professional would cost
the same
amount of money.
You want to say, come to our school and hire our students?
Well, funny enough, almost, I mean, we are glad that Baltic Film and Media School has such a good reputation, but it sometimes can become a little bit difficult because we have too many requests. We have companies coming every day saying, oh, let's do it with you, because we can deliver professional products for a reasonable price, if not for cheap. But this is not the aim of the school. Mm-hmm. The aim of the school is to educate people.
But where should the company start from? When we think that, okay, we are a company, we would be interested in a transmedia solution, what are the first things we should think about? What should we do?
Well, first of all, they should hire good marketing companies with good creative people behind it.
Okay, so let's say we have a marketing company with good creatives.
Then
what's
you have
the next
to
step?
Yes, then you have to ask yourself why you want to go the cross-media way. Why? What it give to your audience more to go the cross-media way?
Let's say that it's one of our three telecoms, for instance. Mm-hmm. The telecom company, her product is almost, or the service is almost similar. Prices do not differ very much. Let's say it's one of them. Wants to have a transmedia solution in order to add a kind of a new layer to the brand. Would this be a fair kind of case?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, let's take, for example, yes, a telephone company, and let's link it to another recognized company or a brand in Estonia, Lotte.
Okay.
So let's say that this telephone company now is targeting younger audiences, kids, to buy more of their products. What can you do? You, first of all, for example, as simple as that, once you buy the telephone, you get narratives already embedded in the telephone that the kid could play Lotte cartoons, you know, while from the first moment that he turns on his telephone. Second, you could link the actual company and maybe the model of the telephones to Lotte and to the narrative of Lotte. So to create different covers, for example, for the telephone, that are portraying different characters of the Lotte brand, etc., etc. So this is how you could think it. Link your product to a narrative, because then the narrative stays there. You know, it's when I talk about transmedia, I talk about a campaign, but the narrative that you create remains, and you could repurpose it every year, on and on and on, by adding layers of narrative to the initial story. So it is an investment, even if you want to do it from a, let's say, technological point of view, the proper way, that it would cost money. But it is an investment for the future, because you create a narrative that then can be carried on through the years. And this is what I think is a possibility for companies, for telephone companies, but for a number of companies in Estonia.
Okay. And my last question, we always ask or end up with a hypothetical company that is producing timber houses. We are popular in timber houses. You know that, yeah?
Yes, I know.
One of the
course.
Biggest okay. exporters in Europe making timber and
wooden
houses. And my question is that, okay, let's say that the company makes timber houses. Could the cross media for some of them, for any of them, be some kind of solution to think about?
What would you
if
do?
If they export, or would you say that don't touch, use different other media types? This is probably not your way of doing things.
It is not the easiest of the examples that you are.
But it's our favorite.
Yes. Okay. Well, but again, it's not impossible. I would first of all ask, you know, why timber houses are important to customers, why people look for timber houses, and why the specific company is better than the concurrents. And then I would move with asking myself, okay, how can I emotionally engage my audience? How I can, for example, tell a story about the materials that I used? And how can I create a narrative for the company itself? So going to more specific and more concrete answer, I would say that, for example, you could create a video or a narrative about why Estonian wood industry is important to Estonia and its people. You could make a narrative about a company worker or company workers and their families. So what is the link between the worker and the wood, the raw material? What is the emotional attachment? What are the cultural elements that spark engagement and spark attention with the audience? You could make a game about the journey of the wood from raw material to breathing logs, making up a sauna. So there are lots of possibilities. If you think, for example, of Jack Daniels, the whiskey, they have achieved a narrative through many years of brand building campaigns. They have an identity. You know, if you go in their websites, they don't talk about the product. They talk about the people. They talk about the history of the company. And the same you could do with a timber house company. Why not? Link it to Estonia. Link it to your heritage. Link it to your people. And then it would work. I wouldn't buy a house from a Finnish company if the quality and the price are the same. I would probably buy the Estonian one because I have an emotional attachment with Estonia, because I live here. And that's what I think an Estonian company could benefit from.